Be seated. It's always a pleasure to have a member come up here and share with you, and it's always a pleasure to have Wayne come up, and just so thankful you're here, brother, and God bless you. And I just want you to be aware of this. I think I just talked to our dear sister Lisa here, and I think she's going to bring us a message in the next month, and I think you're all looking forward to that. Let me read something to you real quick. 2 Timothy 2:2. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, basically a bishop talking to a pastor. Here's what he said: "The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also." It's exactly how it's supposed to work. And it works very well here. And it's with confidence, brother. Come on up.
Please pray with me. Precious Lord, we come to you this morning offering this worship service as our act of praise, Lord. We ask that my message would be your message, Lord, that my words would be your words, and my words would glorify you, Lord. Be with my brothers and sisters and open their ears to hear your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get started on the message this morning, I remember when I was in a service, nobody knew my first name. It's crazy. And this has nothing to do with the sermon, but this really touched me this morning, so I want to address this before I get going. My mother didn't name me Mr. Booth. I mean, I had a name, and a lot of people served with me many years. I mean, right beside me through thick and thin, and they never knew my first name. You know, and Hai Jong said to me this morning, she said, "Everybody calls me Shim because I was afraid they couldn't pronounce my name. It was just easier." So join me in saying good morning, Hai Jong. So, because you know what? If you really love somebody, you take the time to learn their name. So on three. 1, 2, 3. Good morning, Hai Jong. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but hey, if nobody else in the United States knew your name, we did. Okay, on to this morning's lesson. Yeah, Jeff, had to do it. But this morning I'm going to be a little more traditional in my preaching. Jeff has a great style. There's a lot of different styles. And this is kind of the old style that they've been doing for years. It would be pick a passage and kind of explain it. So this morning we're going to look at Matthew 7, and it really does amaze me how God works together to put sermons together. I mean, it's like Jeff even spoke in Sunday school on what he was going to preach on next week, and it turns out that's what I'm preaching on this week. So God must really want us to know this, because he's taken 2 weeks to preach it, and it's on the front of the bulletin. I don't understand this, but hey, God puts these things together. But what in Matthew 7, Jesus directs us on how we should interact with each other as Christians. And it says, what does the Lord say about how we should treat each other, how we should deal with each other? And the first part of the Matthew 7, now you ain't going to believe this. It says, "Judge not that you will not be judged." Read the front of the bulletin. "For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged, And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So I guess God really wants this message to come down. And it seems that, as Jeff was saying this morning, he says, God's going to take the time to chisel away all of our sin, all of our impurities, all of our problems before we get to heaven. And a couple months ago, patience is what I preached on, something I didn't have. And I'm getting better at it. So that's one thing God has to take away from me before he can let me go to heaven. I guess the next thing is my judgmental attitude, which I have it. I admit it. I was raised a certain way. We were all raised a certain way. And when we see things, well, that's not the way we did it. So it must be wrong. You know, and we're very good at that. And like the insert in a bulletin says, I could judge with the best of them. Oh, yeah, I'm good at it. I admit I'm good at it. But this is something that God sees in me. This is the next thing we got to get rid of. You know? So we meet people every day. But sometimes we only meet them for a short time. You meet people at a stop sign. I mean, you physically see each other. You know, you see people in a store. Believe it or not, you spend more time with the people you work with than you do your own family. Stop and think about this. I mean, you don't get to pick the people you work with, but you're spending 8 hours a day with those people. You know, especially if you work in a shop or an office environment. You don't spend 8 hours a day with your family. You know, other than sleeping, that's about it, you know. Another thing we see is at the restaurants, at the shops we stop at, the stop and go, the, you know, gas station, whatever. The person behind the counter, you know, is someone we see 5 minutes because we're in a hurry. The get-go clerk sees you for all of 2 minutes. You know, because you've got to pay for your gas and get out the door. So how should we treat them? When you walk into get-go and there's some young man sitting there with everything pierced and a tattoo and earrings bigger than most of the ladies, you know. You know, you walk in the door and the first thing you do is, oh my God. Well, what'd you expect for $8 an hour? You know, all in all, I mean, plus the fact we don't remember, most of us don't remember the 70s when everybody had the long hair and the beards and we all looked like ZZ Top wannabes. It's basically what I come down to, and I remember my dad looking at ZZ Top and the gang and saying, I'd like to get a razor to them boys, you know, because he was the clean-shaven, military haircut kind of guy. But we walk in the door, and the first thing we do is we judge that person behind the counter. This is, you know, this is somebody's kid. And you know what? This is a kid trying to figure out life. He really ain't real sure what to do with it because he's 18 years old and he just got a whole lot of freedom because he's out of high school and nobody tells him what to do anymore. So he can do anything he wants. So he's going to try to fit in with the crowd he's in, or he's trying to be himself. So like I said, especially your younger people, they're really just trying to express themselves. And if we would think back, we were the same way. in the 7th chapter of Matthew, it says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets." Maybe that young gentleman behind the counter should see you coming in and think to himself, "I'd never dress like that." Or, "I wouldn't drive that car." Or, "You're one of the squares." They used to call them squares in the 70s. This is going way back. But how would you feel if that person judged you? Maybe you don't have, I've seen women go out with one eyebrow. You know, how about if he tells you about it? You know, when you're getting your gas. You know, "By the way, you forgot, to draw one on." Maybe it wouldn't be so much fun anymore. Because, I know Jeff's going to do a job on this week, but we're all people. That's exactly what it comes down to. And like Jeff's been preaching for the past couple weeks on diversity in the church here, God created each and every one of us. And to judge his creation is to judge him. When I do a job, any kind of job for someone, fix something, do some kind of leather work, do something that feel I'm talented at, I don't take criticism very well. And I don't think God does either. Anyway, so we come to a point where, how do we view people through God's eyes and not our eyes? And how do we deal with people in a godly way? Verse 6 of chapter 7. It says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, or cast your pearls to the swine." Which actually Jeff said this morning. I can't believe this. This whole thing is coming together. But I read that as, if you're going to witness to people, you have to evaluate the situation. If it's a shop environment, a crass environment, if you walk up to someone and say, "God loves you," well, that's nice, but then they're going to laugh you right out of the place. But if you're speaking with a more sensitive person, that will work. It comes back to the old scripture that says iron sharpens iron. And only iron can sharpen iron. In other words, you have to deal with each situation as it comes. I heard someone say that this week, it says, "Fear will not keep you from dying, but fear will keep you from living." We spoke about Brother Don going to Africa. If you'd have told a poor kid from Port View you'd be a missionary in Africa 20 years ago, he'd have told you you're a nut. But he's there right now, living for God. But then we come down to not being judgmental, but not judging people, but you come to the point where, how do you tell them they're doing something wrong without being judgmental? Or should you just kind of let that go? I'm good, you're good, we're all good. God's sitting there in a tie-dyed t-shirt, and he's all right with everybody. And he's just going to say, all them rules I made, they were nice, but you didn't have to follow all of them. And it's sometimes the way we read it, the pick and choose part of the Bible. Pick what you want to go along with, and whatever's hard, choose not to deal with. That's not how it works, folks. No. But what, when I was alluding back to fear will keep me from living, fear of what? What do you mean, fear? Fear of not fitting in. Fear of hurting someone else's feelings. And the fear of being called judgmental. Those are three right there that we deal with every day. Well, the first one, we don't fit into this world. Accept it. God says we are holy, set apart. So if you're trying to fit in with the crowd, with the people out there, don't. You never will. If you're a Christian, you're going to be different. God calls us to be different. He calls us to make a difference. But too long the church has been silent on some things, and the world just kind of steps over us. We let things happen. And that comes into the being politically correct. We don't want to hurt someone else's feelings. And if we come up to someone, you can't beat them into the kingdom. This book is a scary thing when you start beating somebody with it. Jesus' own quote, "My way is the way of love. I came not to judge, but to save." And that's us. That's what we're here for. Jesus said, "Keep the church while I'm gone. Follow his commands." But being judgmental, sometimes you just come to a point where, you know what? I just got to tell you you're wrong. If you ask my honest opinion on an issue, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. That's my opinion. It may not agree with your opinion. And you know what? Sometimes my opinion will insult you. But I would rather insult you here on earth and see you in heaven than not insult you here and not see you in heaven. If I have to insult you and make you mad to the point where you will quit doing something wrong, you can be mad at me forever. Would you rather be mad at me or mad at God? That's what it comes down to. And this is where Christians have to stay very close to the scripture. Don't give people your opinion. Give them God's opinion. God makes the rules. I don't. I don't like some of them. I'm not in agreement with all of them. But you know what? He makes them. I follow him. My job as a teacher, a pastor, whatever you want to call it, a lay speaker, my job is to tell you them. What you do with it is up to you. But there's a scripture that says, for all the saints who don't make it to heaven, their blood will be on someone's hands. There it is. Yeah, sometimes what I'm going to say to you is not going to make you happy. It's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be truthful. It's going to be biblical. And that's where I, as a person, need to step back out of the picture. And you also, I'm saying we need to step back out of the picture. And if we see a situation, if we see the same person every day who has a flaw, Are we better off to judge them, or are we better off to pray that God will take care of that flaw? If you cannot tell this person you're doing something wrong, at least pray for them that they'll get it right. You've done something. You've not done nothing. Doing nothing sometimes is worse than doing the wrong thing. Do something. I mean, be proactive. But we have to do it with love. The Sidewalk Prophet, no, I think it's the Sidewalk Prophets. If hopefully the band I get right. But they have a song out that says, "Tell me something that will save my life." Stop and think about that. You may be the only person God sends to this person to put them on the right path, to help them along the way. And that's what it needs to be. It needs to be, I'm helping you correct what God says is wrong. I don't say it's wrong. God says it's wrong. He sent me here to help you correct this problem you have. Pastor Jeff stands up here and says, you have a problem. God's trying to take it away from you. And we can accept that as constructive criticism from him, or we can sit there and say, ah, he just thinks he's better than me. Well, Jeff is not that way. He's not being judgmental, but the truth of it is the word. Jeff's job is to, and mine also, is to explain what God wants to tell you. Put some skin on his laws and his rules. The point I'm trying to make here is Haijong came here, and I'm not singling you out, sweetie, but she has left us better people just for being here. And I honestly can describe it in two words. Joyful admiration for the Lord. It's exactly what it is. Your smile lights up a room. It really does. But that's what we need to be. That's the light on the hill. When we are in a situation with a person or spend time with a person, even a short period of time, you have to stop and think, did I leave that person better off than when I met them? All in all, I mean, that's what we're here for. We're here to spread God's love. And that's the best way to do it. Personally do it. Because if me and all the clergy and Jeff and all them, if we come up here and we say something, yeah, it's what you're supposed to be saying. You're supposed to be, you know, adhering to the book, know the laws, know what God says is right and wrong. But it's another thing when a common person says that to you. That's why I honestly think local pastors and lay speakers have a great advantage over ordained clergy, because we're just common people, just like you. And when you talk across to somebody, that's exactly what you're doing. You're talking across to someone to help them along the way. And if a person has a vice that they're doing something wrong, and the preacher comes up Sunday morning and says, oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't walk out of work with a can of window cleaner in your back pocket. That's stealing. Well, yeah, we're supposed to say that. Stealing is a sin. You know, we can do the whole commandment thing. But when a fellow co-worker says, you know, that's stealing. And I'm just using that as an example. Wait a minute. He's one of us. He ain't supposed to say that stuff. He's supposed to be okay with that. Well, it's the same thing. If we are in a sin, or we have something in our being that we need to get rid of, you know what? God's going to keep sending people until you lose that sin. That's why he sends you, the lay people of the church. I heard a story one time about a lady who's sitting in the back of the church, and she got this from the Holy Spirit, just, I don't know what you would call it, just an inkling to do something, that she should go up and do a handstand in front of the church. And this lady thought, I can do that. Finally, it was like somebody was pushing her forward to do it. So finally, she gets up and walks up and does her headstand in front of the church. And everybody's looking around like, why would you do this? And the lady in the back pew finally gets up and she walks forward. And she accepts the Lord right there. And they say, you've been a church member for years. Why did you accept the Lord today? She says, I said to God, the only way I'll accept you is if somebody does a handstand in the front of this church. There it is. This is what we're here for. This is exactly what. If God tells you to do something, do it. But we need to be sensitive to the people around us. And like I said, when you have an interaction with people, stop and think. And if nothing else, pray for that person. This person could be having the lousiest day going. We're talking spill the coffee in the morning, in the car, all this, forget your lunch. You know, difficult customers all day. And the next thing you know, somebody finally comes in and says, gee, your hair looks nice. You know what? You've done not, you've brightened that person's day. We are to be encouragers to help build people up, not to judge them and knock them down. The world's going to do that for you. That's already a given. Leave people better than when you met them. And I honestly challenge you this week to stop at the end of the day and say, did I help somebody along? Pray with me. Precious Lord, we admit that we could all be judges of your creation, and we're all very good at it. But Lord, we ask that you would take that judgmental attitude away, and that we would see that we all make mistakes. We all need grace. And we all need your love, Lord. You died for each and every one of us, Lord. Help us to remember that. Be with my brothers and sisters this week, Lord, as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure.
Hey, Wayne, your hair looks nice. You know, as my brother was speaking, there's just so many things. It's like he said, even the scripture verse we read today, the front cover our responsibility, and it's a hard thing, our responsibility to each other, to help each other to be right. And to keep your flesh out of that is always the challenge. I leave you with this beautiful verse from Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love, grow up. That's what we do. And if we do it the right way, it works. If we let our flesh get in there, it destroys. We just degrade and we become infants again. So, nice job, brother. I greatly appreciate it.